Please rise for the reading of our text today, which comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these porches lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." We pray. O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, here we have a modern day parable. You've got Jesus going to the annual church picnic. Yeah, a big get together, always a big deal. You know, the annual feast, the annual church picnic. And he decides to swing by what is really the world's largest jacuzzi. And as usual, it was packed, just packed with people, because this was a very special jacuzzi, because it had healing powers. And, you know, it wasn't like when you walk into the Holiday Inn and you want to hop into the hot tub, you just go over to the wall and you turn the switch on and the jets start going, and you can hop into the hot tub, and you get all this wonderful feeling, like the water going through you and massaging you, and it feels so good. It wasn't like that. They didn't have electricity back then. You know, that's not the way it worked. And just imagine, if you will, that you and your family are staying at a Holiday Inn sometime, and you walk into the pool area, and you see this mass of crippled humanity waiting for someone to flip the switch, waiting for someone to turn on the jacuzzi. There's some people that are wasting away with AIDS, some with cancer, some with the telltale dark glasses and the striped cane, some in wheelchairs, some on gurneys, paralyzed from the neck down, not able to move. And they're all waiting and waiting for their chance at normalcy, a normal existence. And they're not only are they there, but their friends and their relatives, the people who brought them there, are close at hand too. And they're all watching that placid water, waiting for the first sign of a ripple so they can take their loved one and toss him in and be the first one into the pool and be healed. That's the rules. First one in the pool is healed of, the Bible says, whatever disease they had. And all the rest had to go home and try again another day. That's the rules of this game. And it's funny that people never wearied of playing it, because there was always that hope that they might be the one. They might be the first one in. Yeah, there wasn't a switch. It was an angel coming down and stirring the water. Sort of like in a swimming pool. I can just get this picture of this angel in a swimming pool. Have you ever done that in a swimming pool? I know you've done it in a swimming pool. Where they walk around the swimming pool. You go faster and faster. You get the water going and going. You know, only an angel's doing this. And he's doing a lot better job than we could ever hope to do. Stirring this water up for its healing. And you just got to picture the scene of all these people, crippled, waiting for that first ripple. And you know, I've got kind of a sick mind sometimes, okay? I just keep thinking, I wonder if they ever had any false starts. Been watching the Olympics?
Yeah.
You know, they get ready to dive in, ready, and someone goes, ah, and they fall in, and then the horn goes, oh, everybody back out of the pool, false start, got to do her again. And I'm wondering if they had, you know, I'm not wondering. I know they had false starts. I know human beings. Don't you know human beings? They had false starts. All right, help them back out of the pool and start all over again, waiting for it. I could just picture that happening. And I'm sure there weren't a lot of happy people there when that took place, you know. Oh, and then, you know, also knowing human nature, imagine the clawing, the scratching, the eye gouging as people jockey to get in, you know, so they could be the first one in. These were desperate people. And I read this and I go, God, couldn't have you picked a better way? You know, when I go to Manderfield's for bakery, I walk in the door and I pick up a number. And when my number's called, I go up and I get my bakery. When I go to the Olive Garden and all the tables are taken and I have to wait, they give me this cute little gadget here that's got lights on it and flashes and buzzes and I know when my table's ready and I just go. Why couldn't you do it that way, God? Why this way? Why? Well, there's something here for us to learn. Because as ugly as this scene could potentially be, and I'm sure that it was ugly at times, this is a picture for us of the hunger that God wants in our soul, of the desperation that God wants in our soul for a touch from Him. That's what we need to learn from this. Oh, that we would have that hunger for that touch of God. To seek His face. To seek His righteousness. Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So this is a picture. And you begin to understand why God did it this way. Because that's what He wants in our hearts. That same kind of hunger. That same kind of clamoring for Him. Well, Jesus comes upon the scene and He surveys the situation, and the text tells us that He saw a certain man, which tells us God had somebody in mind here. And Jesus spots the guy. And we're going to call him Matt. We're going to give him a name. We call him Matt because that's where he spent the last 38 years of his life. On a mat. The chaise lounge of the crippled. He had a bad case of rheumatoid arthritis for 38 years. He could move. He just couldn't move fast enough to get the healing, to be the first one in. It's sort of like Grandpa Dan. You know, Grandpa Dan, his mind is sharp as a tack. But he just can't move like he used to. And that's kind of what's going on here. And so Jesus walks up to Matt and He says, hey, how'd you like to be able to walk again? And Matt says, well, you know, I'd be able to walk again if I just had me one of them scooters from the scooter store. Then I'd be able to walk again. Yeah, because, you know, as soon as that ripple hit, I'd be gunnering. Zoo-hoo! Off I'd go, and I'd be the first one in then. And I'd be the one to be healed. Never mind what would happen if there was a false start. I mean, good luck fishing the scooter out. But, you know, that was his idea was that, oh, if only I could get in there first. And he doesn't know it, but Jesus, God, is standing right in front of him. Hello, I'm Jesus. One word, and I can heal you. And Jesus chooses to extend mercy. And he heals this man, and he says, rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. And instantly, faster than a nanosecond, the man was healed. And immediately, the first thing he did was he obeyed Jesus. Took up his bed and walked. What a miracle! What a miracle! No more lines for this guy. No more waiting for his one chance to be healed. He was healed. And I just wonder what that would look like today. And I keep getting back to Grandpa. What would that be like if that happened to Grandpa at our house today, this afternoon? I mean, what if we're getting ready to have supper at our house and we call him in from the living room, say, Dan, come on and eat. And you know, you'd hear his chairlift, which lifts him up, and then it takes him about 30 seconds to grab onto that walker and to get his balance, and then he starts shuffling in to the dining room. And you can hear that shuffle. It's whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And you just become familiar with it. But what if today? What if today we wouldn't hear the shh, shh, but we'd hear the clip, clop, clip, clop. And he'd come walking around the corner and he'd have that walker under his arms and he'd have that twinkle in his eye and he'd say, I'm healed. I won't be needing this anymore. Could you imagine us sitting at the table? Our jaws would be, well, you know? And the first thing I'd say to him, what are you doing carrying your walker? It's the Sabbath. But that's what these people did. They had the Sabbath police out. These guys went around Jerusalem on bicycles. And they would look for people, you know, that were disobeying the Sabbath. And say, all right, the headquarters, we got the guy over here carrying his bed. We're going to go and check him out. Okay, good. They go over. They pull the guy over. What are you doing? Carrying my bed. Don't you know it's the Sabbath? You're not supposed to carry your bed. Well, that guy over there, the guy who healed me, he told me to carry my bed. What guy? Well, he's over there. Well, I don't know. He's gone now, but he was over there. Well, okay, we're going to let you off with a warning this time. But if you happen to see this guy, look, here's our card. Give us a call. We need to talk to this guy who's doing this healing on the Sabbath. You can just imagine how that scene went. The Sabbath police. So this guy goes to church. First thing that he does after he's healed, he goes to the temple. Probably to thank God for his healing. And the story's still not over. He's sitting there in the pew thanking God, and all of a sudden, look who sidles up next to him. It's the guy who healed him. He says, hi, I'm Jesus. I'm the guy who healed you. I need to tell you something else. You know, the reason we have disease and sickness in this world is because of sin. Not your personal sin, but the sin of the world in general that brought disease into this world. And I got to tell you something. I not only healed your disease back there, but I healed you of your sin. I took care of your bigger problem. I healed your sin. But I got to tell you, don't go back into it. Straighten up and fly right. That's called repentance. And repentance is still one of Jesus' favorite words. He says, you better straighten up and fly right and trust in me, or something worse than being crippled for 38 years is going to happen to you. And of course, he's talking about hell, isn't he? That's the account. But what can we learn from this incident? Well, it was one of seven signs that were included in the Gospel of John. Seven miracles that were included in the Gospel of John for one specific reason. And John told us in John 20, verse 30, what that reason was. He says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Well, how does this miracle help us believe? All right, who else but God can heal? Who else but God can forgive sins? Who else but God can condemn someone to hell? This helps us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there's some other things that we can pick up on here. First of all, the name of the pool, Bethesda. It means house of mercy. House of mercy. And this is helpful for several reasons. The first being that this whole setup, which, like I said, seems incredibly unfair. The first, whatever happened to the last being first. Here, the first one gets the healing. It seems so unfair, but yet it's a reminder to us as to who is in charge of mercy. It's an illustration of the parameter that God has for extending mercy. In Exodus 33:19, he says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." And when you think about it, that just one person would be healed in this manner, that should be good enough. It's God who extends mercy. Deuteronomy 32:39. "Now see that I, even I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any that can deliver from my hand." And the point is, some are healed. And you look around, you see, some people are healed, some aren't. But their fate is still in the hands of God. And further, we can learn that the church should become Bethesda. The church should be the house of mercy. I mean, here you got, there's a great multitude of people here. Just like there's a great multitude of people around us who are in need of God's mercy. They are in need of God's forgiveness. They are in need of that removal of guilt that they have from their sin. They need to know about God's merciful act on Calvary. They need to not only hear about that mercy, but they need to see it lived out. We need to be a house of mercy. Preach the gospel, someone has said, and if necessary, use words. And don't miss the fact that this man had his crippling infirmity for 38 years. Why did the Bible have to tell us that? What? Why did we have to have the specific number of years, 38 years? How did John know that? He could only know it by revelation of the Holy Spirit as he penned these words. God knew exactly how long this man had been afflicted. And God is aware of your affliction too. He knows how long you've been afflicted with your sin. He knows how long you've been afflicted with your bodily aches and pains and your diseases. He knows how long you've been afflicted by your loneliness. He knows how long you've been afflicted by your depression. He knows how long you've been afflicted by betrayal. He knows how long you've been afflicted by your fears. He knows. He could take care of it in an instant. But for some good reason, he waits. He sees something. He knows something that you or I couldn't possibly know. And so all we can do is trust. And it may take 38 years. It may take longer. And it may take shorter. But don't fall into the trap of so many who, while waiting for God's mercy, decide to curse him. That's real smart, isn't it? That's biting the hand that feeds you. God is the mercy dispenser of the universe. And rather than curse him, we must keep coming to him, asking for it, because we're not going to find it anywhere else. Ask him for mercy in your situation, and keep asking until you receive an answer. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn was, but it was an affliction. And he asked for mercy. He kept asking. He asked three times. He asked until he got an answer. And his answer was, I'm not going to remove the thorn in your flesh. But I will give you the grace to be able to withstand it, to be able to endure it. That was his answer. He didn't need to ask any more after that. But keep asking until you get an answer. Next, don't forget the question that Jesus asks. It seems like such a dumb question, you know. He goes up to Matt and he says, do you want to be made well? And Matt says, no, I just come here for smelling the chlorine. I love the smell of chlorine. That's why I'm here. It seems like such a dumb question, but it's a question it's not just addressed to him, it's addressed to you. And it's addressed to me. Do you really want to be made well? Or do you want to continue, you know, up to your armpits in manure? Because at least it's warm. And you're familiar with it. Do you want to be made well? It's a question for you and I as well, to draw us out of the rut of sin. Wouldn't you like to take that step of faith and be made well? You know, wholeness will only come as you dive into the pool of mercy personified, and that's Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we say yes completely to Jesus, healing is immediate. Our sins are completely removed from our account. Faster than you can click on your mouse on a computer and make a banking transaction, that's how fast and immediate the removal of your sin is when you say yes to Jesus. But you have to dive in. You can't just stick your toe in the water. You got to dive in to realize this truth. And this is the truth. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. It's in him that we have our being. And so he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. He says, live, move. Have your being in him as you respond to his merciful invitation and you put yourself under his yoke. We've been talking a lot about our Monday night Bible study, Man Up Bible study, about delighting yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of his heart. That's what this is. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Rise. Delight yourself in the Lord. Put yourself into his hands. Become pliable in his hands. And learn to live. And finally, Jesus knew right where to go to find this man. Where did he find him? He found him in the temple. He knows right where to find those who have responded to his invitation to get well. They're in the temple. They're in the church. Not because they have to be, not because it looks good, but because they get to be there. When do you think of the last time this man went to church? I'm guessing it was at least 38 years. And now, he gets to go. He gets to thank God. He gets to praise God. He gets to serve God. He gets to be reminded to stay on course. He gets to receive the assurance of the Lord's forgiveness. Just as we do every week when we come to the Lord's table. You want to get well? Then hear Jesus. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Stop your pity party. Stop your misguided thinking that, oh, if only I had a scooter, everything would be fine. No, if only you had Jesus, everything would be fine. If only you had the touch from Jesus, everything would be fine. You'll never get it relying on others, will you? Because others will fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. He won't leave you on the edge of the pool like this man's friends did. On his own, with no help. Learn to rely on Jesus. Learn to dive into Jesus with full surrender. Amen.